Right, the reality of evangelism. If you've got a Bible, could you open it, please, to Acts and chapter 5. Sorry, Acts and chapter 6. Not good starting. And starting at verse 3, if you haven't got a Bible, it is up on the screen. Look out, therefore, brethren, from among yourselves, seven men, well reported of, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will establish over this business, but we will give ourselves up to prayer and the ministry of the words. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And then turn over a couple of pages to Acts chapter 8, and starting at verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, rise up and go southward on the way which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same as desert. And he rose up and went, and lo, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a man in power under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to worship at Jerusalem, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, approach and join the chariot. And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, dost thou then know what thou art reading of? And he said, how should I then be able, unless someone guide me? And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in the presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment has been taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch, answering Philip, said, I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other? And Philip, opening his mouth, began from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. There was a recent survey that was done by the Bible Society, and it said that 6% of the population of England regularly read their Bible. 6%. And you know, more than ever, we as Christians need to be shining as lights in the world. We have a responsibility. Those who know the way to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to speak to others about the way to salvation. And if we are to have reality in our outreach, if we are to have reality in our personal evangelism and our personal testimony, then I think we need two things. First of all, a love for the Lord Jesus. And second of all, a love for souls, a love for those around us. Let's look at this little passage here. This is where Philip, the evangelist, as he's called later on in Acts, was chosen. He wasn't chosen originally to be a preacher. He was actually chosen originally to sort out some administrative problems in the early church. But why did God use him? Or why was God able to use him in such a powerful way later on in Acts chapter 8? Was it his good speech? Was it his bubbly personality? Or his ability to link on with those that he spoke with? Look at the characteristics of Philip up here. He was well reported of. He was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He had a real relationship with the Lord Jesus. Paul says in Colossians, he says, walk in wisdom to those without. What does the Bible say about wisdom? It says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Let me tell you, you will never have reality in your personal gospel as you speak to those around you. You will never have reality in your testimony. You will never have reality and power to the words that you speak to those at work and at school unless first your own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is established and enjoyed. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, you are our letter. If you go back to that 6%, people are not reading the Bible on a regular basis. So what are they looking at? Where are they getting their picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like? They are looking at me and they are looking at you. Paul says that we are to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. Philip here was well reported of. He had a powerful testimony. God was able to use him because he lived a life that was in accordance with what he claimed to believe and what he preached. And you know, the more that you learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the better you will be able to represent him. As through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can begin to exhibit the characteristics of Christ. Earlier on in Acts chapter 4, it says they recognized them, that they were with Jesus. What set the early church apart? Well, firstly, it was a reliance on the Holy Spirit. But turn back with me to Acts chapter 2. And verse 44. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and substance and distributed them to all, according as anyone might have need. And every day being constantly in the temple with one accord and breaking bread in the house, they received their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the assembly daily those that were to be saved." Look at that last little word here. "And the Lord added." It's almost like as a consequence of all the way that they'd lived their life. Other people saw the way that the early Christians lived their life. They saw their affection for one another. They saw their affection for the Lord Jesus. They saw the difference in their lives. They saw the power that coming to know Christ had on the lives of those that were part of that early church. And they wanted to be part of it. "And the Lord added to the assembly those that were to be saved." What does Jesus say? He says, "By this shall all know that ye are disciples of mine, if you have love amongst yourselves." If you show the fruit of the Spirit, if you show peace and joy and patience and kindness, and if you show that you have a desire to have Christ as the first place, let me tell you, the world will notice, because the world has no hope. The world has no peace. The world will notice if you start, through the power of the Spirit, to exhibit the characteristics of Christ. They will see a difference in your life. Go back to what Paul says in Colossians. He says, "Walk in wisdom." If you're walking, it means you have a direction. It means you're going somewhere. And if you live your life down here as if you're just passing through, when you speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the world to come, eternity, your words will have so much more power if you're living a life that is in accordance with what you claim to believe and what you're preaching. But you also need a love for those around, because it's not just a case of having all actions and no words. God here sends Philip to go and speak to a person, to go and speak to one man. And you know, it says about Philip running up to the chariot. And you know, he probably did have to run to catch up with the chariot, but I think he also ran because he loved the person that he was about to speak to. He had a desire to speak to that person about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a desire and a love that the person that he was going to speak to would too come into all the blessing and all the enjoyment and all the joy that Philip was enjoying. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we love those around us enough to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we love those that we come into contact with at school and at work and at university enough to speak to them about Christ and what he has done? Paul says that the love of the Christ constrains us. Can you turn with me to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul speaking here, he says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and unintelligent. So as far as depends on me, I am ready to announce the glad tidings to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the glad tidings, for it is God's power to salvation. Three things Paul was in this little passage here. He was a debtor. He realized that he owed those around him an opportunity to hear about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was ready to speak at any time about the man that had done so much and the man that he loved so much. And he was not ashamed to preach and to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is God's power to salvation. The gospel is God's power to salvation. The message of the gospel and what Christ has done in the gospel is the way that God is able to bring sinners into salvation. He was ready. He was a debtor. He was ready and he was not ashamed. You know, you go back to the gospels. Jesus, looking on the crowds, it says he had compassion on them. Again, do we love those around us enough? The disciples asked the Lord, didn't they, in a different context, care ye not that we perish? And that would be the question that the world would be asking us. Care ye not that we perish? What are we doing about it? We know the way. We've heard about it already today. I am the way, said Jesus, the truth and the life. And if we claim to know him, why are we not telling more people about the way to salvation? Oh, you say, I don't know. I might be asked all sorts of questions. I don't want to look silly. I don't want to maybe give a wrong impression of what Jesus is like. I wouldn't even know what to say. Well, the Lord says to the man that he healed, I think it was the man who had the legion of demons, he says, return to thy house and go and tell what great things God has done for you. That's what it is, dear friend. That's what it's all about. What has Christ done for you? Yes, you might get asked all sorts of questions, but you come back. This is what I was, and this is what I am now. And what's the difference? I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and tell what great things God has done for you. And you know, it's that, it's not by our strength. The Bible says that, doesn't it? Not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit, says Jehovah. You know, we've already talked about it already today. We have this wonderful gift, the person, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us, who is always ready to help us to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights to talk, to give us the words, to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an opportunity we have that we can speak to others, knowing that it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and gives us the words that will hit right to the heart of those that we speak to. And so I think, just in closing, when it comes to speaking to other people, we need to pray for opportunities. We need to pray to help to take those opportunities. And we need to pray during those opportunities. You know, you get here with Philip, right down the bottom, and Philip opening his mouth. That's almost the last conscious thing that Philip did. And then the Holy Spirit took over. And the words that came out of Philip's mouth were the words that were necessary at that moment. And I'm sure afterwards, like we all do, Philip probably thought about things he could have said better and didn't say and all sorts of other things. But their words were right for that person at that time, and that person here, this Ethiopian eunuch, was saved and baptized and went back to his home country. Philip opened his mouth, and there hits the reliance on the Holy Spirit. The words that followed, he explains starting at that scripture. And I'm sure he went all over different verses of the Bible, all over the place. But the words that were spoken were the words that were necessary for that person and that time. There's no tick box when it comes to evangelism. There's no one size fits all. But we can rely completely upon the power of the Holy Spirit each and every time we speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of our lives, at the end of everything, when we give an account of our time down here, I am absolutely convinced that each and every one of us will wish that we spent a little bit longer and a bit more time speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and a little bit less time speaking about the frivolous and temporary things that I often spend my time talking about. Let's look at some questions. Why is it so hard to speak to people about Jesus, and how do I overcome this fear? Do I really need to speak to people? Surely they'll just see my actions and that will be enough. I feel like my testimony at work or school or college or university is not good. To be honest, I feel a little bit like Lot in Genesis chapter 19. What can I do to remedy this? If I happen to find myself in a conversation where I can speak and present the gospel to somebody, what sort of things might we want to include? This is our last discussion. And it's an opportunity as well. If you've got any questions, particularly younger people, and you've got an opportunity now, even if it's nothing to do with anything that we've spoken about, ask your group leader if you've got any questions at all about anything at all today, about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus, about anything at all. Ask your group leader. You've got a brilliant opportunity in a little group to ask any burning questions that you might have about anything to do with Christianity.